This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
You're listening to All the Backlist, a weekly show about books that are not new. I'm your host, Patricia Elsie Tuttle, and I want to read with somebody. I want to share some books with somebody. This is episode number 245 and a half, and today I'm going to talk about a couple great backlist titles that I'm super excited about. So, hey, we made it through the longest January in the existence of Januaries, and we're finally in Black History Month. Though, to be honest, every month is Black History Month in our apartment. Before I get to my picks for today's episode, let's hear about our sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Entangled Publishing's Red Tower Books, publisher of the smash hit Fourth Wing. You'll only cross these blades once in a page-turning new tale of revenge, strategy, and so many lies. Best-selling Red Tower Books is releasing its next irresistible read that will capture your imagination and keep you guessing until the end. Mae Corlin's Five Broken Blades tells an intricate, high-stakes tale of five total strangers united in a plot that will test their strength, wits, and courage. Each has their reasons, all have secrets. But while it's easy to betray a stranger, it's not so simple to stab a friend or a lover, okay, in the back. Now these five blades must choose between vengeance and one another. Pick up Five Broken Blades by Mae Corlin for a thrilling, adventurous tale filled with risk, romance, adventure, and, oh, so many lies. The relationships in it are complex and nuanced and involve everything from friends to enemies, found and biological family and lovers and more. Thanks again to Entangled Publishing's Red Tower Books, publishers of the smash hit Fourth Wing, for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Harper Horizon, publisher of Walk, Ride, Paddle. Walk, Ride, Paddle is a captivating memoir of Senator Tim Kaine's physical journey through the Virginia wilderness, but it is also a unique and ultimately optimistic perspective on these pivotal moments in history, offering inspiration, wisdom, and hope. With immediacy and honesty, Kaine pulls back the curtain to reveal his inner thoughts during such monumental times. And Kaine's storytelling gift and wise observations offer a fascinating glimpse into the mind of a seasoned politician and outdoor enthusiast. Walk, Ride, Paddle is available everywhere audiobooks are sold on April 9th. It is narrated and written by Tim Kaine, Virginia senator and former Democratic vice presidential candidate. It's a compelling account of one man's journey across hundreds of miles of Virginia wilderness and a moving testament to the optimistic spirit of America. So make sure to check out Walk, Ride, Paddle by Tim Kaine. And thanks again to Harper Horizon, publisher of Walk, Ride, Paddle, for sponsoring this episode.
So this first book is very important to me because growing up, I wanted to be an astronaut. Well, I wanted to be a lot of different things, right? And special shout out to my sixth grade wannabe marine biologists out there. But astronaut was the thing I wanted to be perhaps for like the longest period of time. In fact, in high school, I went to the Air Force Academy for a summer science program because to be an astronaut, you had to be in the Air Force. And I got the chicken pox, so I took that as a sign that maybe it wasn't for me. But anyway, so first book is Hidden Figures by Margot Lee Shetterly. This book was turned into a movie by the same name a few years ago, starring Taraji P. Henson, Octavia Butler, and Janelle Monáe. The author, Margot Lee Shetterly, grew up in Virginia, and her father worked for NASA. Hidden Figures is nonfiction about the African-American women who worked for the National Advisory Committee for Aeronautics, NACA, which eventually morphed with other groups into the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, or NASA as we know it. When the film version concentrates on NASA and a few women, the truth is that African-American women started working at NACA during World War II. It was supposed to be just a short commitment, but then it turned into so much more. The women started as mathematicians, or as they were called, computers. There was East Computing, where the white women computers were, and there was West Computing, which had the African American women. As usual, the book is better than the movie. The book offers so much more context and gravitas to what these women were achieving. Yes, this is during Jim Crow era segregation and through the civil rights movement. And Shetterly points out how the racism in the U.S. was damaging, and honestly still damages, how other countries viewed the U.S. and questioned the U.S. as a global superpower when our own citizens weren't being treated fairly. It really lays bare the hypocrisy of opposing the treatment of Jewish people in Europe during World War II, while here at home, our own citizens weren't being afforded basic human rights. I had no idea how incredibly significant the West computers were, not only at NACA, then NASA, but as part of U.S. history. They not only were integral in aeronautics and the space race, but in integration as well. There's a scene in the film where Kevin Costner's character has this big white savior moment and tears down the colored people sign over the bathroom. And I'm here to tell you, if you don't already know, that that bit was completely fabricated for the movie. There is definitely in the book a certain dealing with a segregation sign in the actual book, which is so delightful, as well as a separate story when Katherine Johnson, one of the most well-known African-American mathematicians, gets caught using the white bathroom after doing so for a couple of years, and her response is really satisfying. I mentioned Katherine Johnson. This book also tells us about Dorothy Vaughan, who paved the way, and Mary Jackson, who went from computer to engineer, which was rare for African American women, especially at that time. The book also teaches us about so many more of the women and the handful of African American men that we never hear about in the history books. I highly recommend Hidden Figures by Margot Lee Shetterly, not only during this Black History Month, but whenever you're able to get to it. It's a really wonderful book. The next book I want to talk about is The Cooking Gene, A Journey Through African American Culinary History in the Old South by Michael W. Twitty. This book I actually had sitting on my shelf for a couple years, and I'm super glad I finally read it. While I was born and raised in California, my dad's side of the family is from Louisiana, and a couple years ago we took a trip down there and I met family I hadn't met before, and I'm trying to get more connected to my family's history, especially through food, so reading this book at this time was really relevant for me. The author, Michael W. Twitty, is a culinary historian. The Cooking Gene is culinary history, cultural history, and Twitty's familial history all woven together. He traces Southern food back to its roots through the enslaved people who developed it and back to parts of Africa, as well as indigenous North American cuisine, where we can see dishes that are the forebears of the Southern food we know now. He brings us along with him through stories and chats with other food historians, through his work as a cook for Civil War reenactments, personal stories, and information from his deep research. There are so many things in this book that I had never been taught or even considered, that sometimes the songs that enslaved people would sing when they were cooking were used as timers, and that watermelon in the South was often a lifesaver to perpetually dehydrated enslaved people working in the fields. Also, I never considered, like, measuring cups weren't even a thing. So cooking was often being able to eyeball things, or a champagne glass full, or a cup full, and everything was all different sizes, and it just took so much more skill to cook back then. Twitty also teaches readers through personal experience about genealogy as a Black person in America. I can tell you, it's not easy. While the internet makes it so much easier to access things like historical records, when it comes to enslaved people and descendants, detailed notes weren't necessarily kept. Families were broken up and sold off. Slavers didn't necessarily keep records of where people were abducted from, and that's just one of the hard truths. And this hits really close to home. For me, it's really awkward when people would ask where my maiden name, Elsie, is from. Like, that's such a cool name. Where is it from? I tell people it's German and try to leave it at that. But then people often ask, like, well, are you German? And then I have to have a super uncomfortable conversation about, no, but my last name is derived from the last name of the people who held my ancestors as slaves. And when we say the effects of slavery are still present, we mean every day, every time I sign my rent check, every time I introduce myself on this podcast. And it's the same for most of the Black people in this country. Twitty also discusses DNA testing and going through multiple companies to get his genes sequenced and the potential errors in that. And these things are why I recommend the Cooking Genes so much. It does such a fantastic and often difficult job of tying the past to our present. It humanizes enslaved people in ways that often aren't present, such as how many enslaved people were sent to France for culinary school and to be taught pastry making. These were skilled workers being auctioned off. And this book is over 400 pages on how food, racism, power, and justice are linked. Sometimes it was a really hard read, but I am so, so glad that Michael W. Twitty gifted us all with the Cooking Gene. I also want to add that Mr. Twitty is Black, gay, and Jewish, and he is a delightful follow on Twitter. So that's it for my backlist picks. I do have a dealer's choice for you today, which is I recently got a copy of Splintegrate by Deborah Taramis Christian that I'm excited to get to. It was pitched to me as Kushiel's Dart Goes Cyberpunk. I've been reading a lot of nonfiction lately, and I need to break it up with some sci-fi and fantasy, and this totally fits the bill. I'll put the name of the book in the show notes with the other books. And that's it for me this week, book lovers. Thank you so much to our sponsor. Again, you can find a list of the books I mentioned today in the show notes by visiting bookriot.com/allthebooks. If you're a fan of All the Books and you want to show us some love, you can leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other book lovers find us. If you want to talk about books or nerdy stuff or check in on my shenanigans, you can find me on Twitter, Litzy, and Instagram at TheInfoFile, as in the lover of information. In the meantime, have a great weekend, drink some water, and happy reading!